Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to Cody and Gold. It's time to talk with the guy who led the American League in hits for two straight seasons.
Merrifield drives one to deep left. Guzman to the fence. And gone with Merrifield.
And hasn't missed a game since Gold was working in Boise.
I'll tell you what, if you guys keep bringing golf up, this is going to turn into a golf show real quick.
Welcome to the Whit Merrifield Show.
It is the Whit Merrifield Show, presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.com, the ultimate in stress-free car shopping. And joining us now, of course, is Whit Merrifield. Whit, good to have you on the show, man. It seemed like, based off your tweet, though, after the win yesterday, must have been a fun plane ride back to KC.
Yeah, it's always nice to have a happy flight and win that that last game of the road trip, or last game of the homestand, wherever we're.
Yeah,
and we're about to get on the plane, so we were fired up and had a nice fun flight.
I was wondering though, because the way that the game ended, and we can talk about how it went down in a second, but just if you were in the clubhouse or not. We were talking Masters with you last week. Did you get a chance to catch the end of it, whether it was on the plane or in the clubhouse?
Yeah, we did. We saw in the clubhouse. We pushed the bus time back about 15 minutes so we could watch the end of it.
Although, you know, like it looked like it was going to be close. Because Matsuyama went in the water and then immediately they gave the shot back. So it just didn't. Felt like it lacked the drama I wanted with. Maybe you still won the Masters pool, but it felt like it lacked the drama I was looking for.
Yeah, I didn't win the pool, and we didn't see most of the final round. So I didn't really get a chance to really see what happened. I heard there wasn't really much to it, which I kind of expected. Matsuyama's such a good ball striker. I didn't really expect him to do anything to give it up. So I was expecting somebody to have to go out and shoot like 65 or 66 to catch him. But didn't win the pool. I did have Zalatoris, though.
He's a
Deacon. He's a member of my club back home, and my club kind of has a lot of similarities to Augusta with the bent greens and the it's really undulated like Augusta is. So I thought he'd play well, and he did. And I was cheering for him, but it was good to see him go out and play well.
Whit, I feel like I needed that tip on Monday. I didn't know there was a connection there. That would have been really nice to know. We would have been in good shape. That was a nice showing from Zalatoris.
Yeah, I was keeping that information close to his chest. I was hoping he would carry me in my pool, and unfortunately my other picks didn't go as planned.
At least the one did it that end. Yesterday's game, Whit, had a little bit of everything, obviously. Before we ask you about replay, which I have particular opinions on, I did want to ask you about the extra innings rule. Are you guys used to that yet? You played baseball a really long time, and that's never how extra innings worked. Obviously, having the speed you guys do is a real advantage in that situation. But have you gotten used to the extra innings rule with, you know, Taylor just starting at second base, ready to score?
I had no idea we were still doing that. I did know, but I completely forgot. And so when I was on deck, and so when I'm on deck and I look out and I see Crochet in the stretch, and I see Taylor behind him, I was like, what the heck just happened? And then I realized that we're doing that runner on second thing again. So no, I guess I haven't gotten used to it.
I would imagine, though, certainly if the end result is what you got yesterday, you'll take whatever they got to do for the extra innings going forward, huh?
Yeah, it worked out for us. I've kind of been against it, that the extra inning rule from the get-go. Just, I don't know. I mean, I understand the logic behind it, and I understand that it's going to help us speed games up, and it's going to save bullpens and keep you from getting to that 14, 15, 16 any game where, you know, you're going to bring in a position player, and nobody wants to see that. But it's – I don't know. It just – getting to second base is a hard thing to do. And you should be rewarded by getting to second base. And it's – to just put somebody out there, it just – I don't know. I guess I'm just a baseball purist in that regard. But it – you know, I have my opinions on it where, you know, to keep it from going 14, 15, 16 innings, just adapt to the hockey or soccer or any of these other rules and go to, like, 12 innings and then just call it a tie is kind of my was my solution to that problem. But, you know, they don't listen to me, I guess.
Speaking of Whit Merrifield here on the Whit Merrifield Show, I'll admit, when replay was first coming into sports, I was fully for it. I'd watched enough plays blown over the years across sports, including baseball, that I thought, all right, we're going to finally fix some of these things. And now I myself, years later, with not enough of those problems fixed. So you, obviously, you don't have to, you got to be careful with complaining about a call. But if it's, like, if that's how replay is going to be used, doesn't it feel like it kind of cheapens its end result? Or how what happened in Sunday Night Baseball, where they miss an obvious call? How do you feel about replay in a sport now that you see it in action, especially on, like, a play where you slide into second or off the bag for half a second?
I think replay, I think the fundamental idea of bringing a replay on was good and genuine, and it was going to be beneficial for the game. And I still think it is beneficial to an extent. But just like anything else, any rule or any time you can have this replay or whatever, people are going to find ways to take advantage of it and abuse it and do certain things. And I mean, replay was not meant to see if a guy, in my example, if a guy who beats a throw by a good bit and doesn't slide past the bag, but just there's that like split second where he could have come off the base between when his arm was engaged with the base and then when his leg touched the base. Do you see a split second there? Or like when a guy like going back to first on a pickoff comes in, goes in standing up and changes feet on the bag, is there that one split second where both his feet are off? Like that wasn't meant for that. It was meant for what happened last night in the Phillies and Braves game. It was unfortunate that that game ended like it did. I'm not sure what was seen in New York, but you know, they always tell us that they have like 7 or 8 different camera angles that we can't see.
Right.
But I feel like we had enough camera angles at home to make the decision on our own. But yeah, I mean, it's the idea of replay is right. It's just there are certain things that it's being used for that I don't think was ever meant to be used, and it's a shame. But you know, hopefully we can figure out a way to make it a little less hair pulling.
Whit, as you mentioned, we started. It's always good to have a flight back after a win and all that, but also against the Chicago White Sox team, who it's no secret. I mean, prior to that, they had won 6 straight against you guys. They had your number for whatever reason over the last year or so. To do it against the White Sox and kind of put that to rest a little bit and maybe not have that discussed as much, at least outside of the organization. How big was that just to get over on the White Sox for the first time in a while?
Yeah, that was big for us. We for some reason, we haven't played well against those guys. And, I mean, they're a talented group. I'm not going to say they're not talented. They are. They're a talented group. But, you know, we are as well. And, you know, if we go out and play good baseball and they beat us 6 straight or whatever it was last year, then, you know, hats off to them. But we just don't feel like we've been able to play good baseball against those guys. And yesterday wasn't great either, but you know, we did enough to win the game, and that's a huge point on our team this year is you know, you're not going to win. There's an old saying, and I might get the numbers a little bit wrong here, but I forget who said it, but it was a famous manager said, you're going to win 50 games a year, you're just going to win them. You're going to lose 50 games a year just by losing them. And then those other 62 is what's going to determine your season. And those 62 this year is going to be is a big point on our team. We got to figure out ways to win those games. Like yesterday, didn't play well. Pitched great.
but I guess offensively they didn't play well. But we were in it late in the game. Carlos had a huge homer for us. And then Scotty and Zimmer and Greg and Wade came in and did a great job for us, and we did enough to scratch across an extra run and win the game. And that's what we haven't done these past couple of years. And it's been, like I said, it's been a huge focus point for us this year. And that was a good sign that we were able to win that game yesterday.
I looked it up. It's Tommy Lasorda, just so you know, the manager with the quote, which is fine that we were covered on that end. We was curious. You guys only got two games against Chicago, and we know you're a big Masters fan. So we figure, hey, look, rain out on Saturday. Great. Glued into the Masters, everything covered. But it had a rain delay, too. Before, I assumed you guys would just like go out to dinner or something with. But how do you handle, like, what did you do during the rain out on Saturday? How do you fill your time that day?
Well, we got to the field and took a bus and got a workout in and got in the gym and killed some time that way, and then got back. And we've been doing this, you know, big ballroom, socially distant, all that stuff. And so we had that set up and, you know, had some food, had some drinks and sat around and socially distant, of course, watched the Masters.
You did. I have to ask, you mentioned you didn't win the pool. Who did? Was it Gordon?
No, Wade won, actually. Yeah, Wader won. He had Hideki and he had two others, I think, that were in the top 10. So, yeah, he picked well.
Is he even a big golf fan, or did he just get lucky?
No, he's a big golfer. Okay. Yeah, he's a big golf fan.
Hey, of course, tonight you guys are back at home. You start a 10-game homestand. I'm sure you're thrilled just to be home for 10 straight games and also have maybe some more rhythm going with all the either planned or unplanned off days that have already happened here so far. But you get Brady Singer on the bump, and I saw, again, you gave him a hard time on Twitter about the rain on Saturday. We all know the backstory there. Other than fighting the rain, though, how much of a competitor is Brady Singer?
Yeah, we love when it's Brady's day. We know he's going to come out and compete. We hope he can come out and pitch well every day, but obviously it's baseball. It's not going to happen. But we know that even when he doesn't have his great stuff, he's going to compete and give us a chance to win the game. So love when Brady pitches. He's continuing to learn, continuing to improve and understand how to pitch in the big leagues. And his stuff is so good that, you know, it's just a matter of time before it all sort of clicks for him and he becomes a dominant force in this league. So we're all waiting for that to happen, excited for it to happen. And, you know, hopefully tonight he can go out and pitch well and give us a chance to win.
Is the rest of the team finally happy about playing every day at least, Whit? I mean, you guys had seemingly every other day off for 2 weeks, and now you get to play 10 straight games.
Yeah, I was just talking with Keller about it this morning. It's like the Texas series was an exhibition almost. It seemed so long ago, and it's like we've been playing the season for a month and we have seven games in. It's been strange. We had three opening days, and in the Midwest like this, you have that opening day and then you have the off day built in case of inclement weather. So it's a lot of playing and then sitting around, and we would sure love to have those off days in July and August when it's hot and we're in the middle of, you know, 15 games in a row or whatever, and 100 games into the season. Those off days would sure be nice then, but what do I know? I don't make the schedule.
Lastly, at least for me, Whit, as we're talking to Whit Merrifield, it's the Whit Merrifield Show. I mean, you guys are 4-3, but I know for at least me, just watching you guys, clearly you haven't had your best stuff yet, just as a team, and yet you guys are 4-3. You've got some guys that are hurt still, some guys that haven't got in a rhythm yet. I mean, that also has to give you some confidence. I would imagine you feel the same way, that as a team, you guys are far from playing your best baseball.
Yeah, definitely. We know the talent we've got, and some guys are going off to a slow start, but it's going to be nice being back home and, you know, getting kind of back into that everyday routine, everyday rhythm. I think is going to help. You know, we know, like I said, we got good players, we got a good lineup, and we just got off to a slow start. And the fact that we're 4-3, having gotten off to a slow start, I think is a good sign for our team. So hopefully we can get some guys going tonight and get a win and carry this into this 10-day homestand.
Witt, I know you said that was the last question for you, but I do have one off of baseball here to finish. We kind of give him a hard time. We give him a hard time because he's a 30-year-old single man who eats like a child. He eats plain Cheerios and likes Uncrustables. I just want to know who the pickiest eater on the team is so he has someone he can cheer for every day. I don't think it's you, I don't get that vibe.
Who doesn't like Uncrustables? Do you not like Uncrustables, Cody?
I had never had one. Like, I just assumed that we didn't get those regular. I just make a peanut butter sandwich.
No, that's on you. Those things are fantastic.
Oh, there it is.
Hammered on the plane.
Oh, see?
See, I had no idea what I was missing.
I brought in a box today, Witt. We just had some on the air. Cody had never had one, so thank you for that.
They're fantastic. Yeah, no problem. Vicky is the eater. I don't know. Maybe Dozier. He's kind of a weird eater. He likes what he likes and doesn't like cookies for some reason. I believe him because I don't really think you cannot like cookies. So I'm gonna say Dozier's our pickiest and strangest eater.
At least with Gordon, he would admit he liked pizza. He just wouldn't eat it. I feel like Dozier's taking it one step further.
Yeah, that's why I don't think I believe him. I think he's just trying to be a hardo.
No question about that. Witt, appreciate it as always, man. We'll check you next week. Good luck tonight.
All right, fellas.